So, however, our personal stories achieve a deeper significance only when they fit within the grander communal story. We need to fit into a narrative that is larger than ourselves, or we lose sight of who we are as individuals and as a collective community. Flannery O'Connor writes, a people is known not by its statements or its statistics, but by the stories it tells. Mm-hmm. And this, I mean, you know, think about, if you're American, think about all the stories that you know about the American Revolution. Are those on this and this date, you know, George Washington crossed the Potomac? No. The Hessians were on the other side, and this dangerous swirl well was around them, and they snuck over, and they had to take these people out, or they were cut off, and they were going to die. And that's what won the revolution. Well, except for all the other battles, and Washington actually retreated more than he succeeded in battles, and there was a lot of desertion. Okay, but those stories are the ones that stick with us. That, you know, Ben Franklin and his kite flying in the storm, did that happen? Yeah, probably not, but you know, it informs our idea of the inventor that Ben Franklin was. It talks about his, you know, adventurous activity where he's going to fly a kite in the storm and all these things. Mm. So this kind of a broader storytelling is the backbone of civilization, says Brian Godwa. It has maintained ritual, systematized beliefs, and taught dogma. In essence, story intricates the myth and values of a culture with the intent of perpetuating them. That's the goal of them, is to, I'm telling the story and it's going to do something.
So it brings cohesion, yeah. It brings order to a particular culture or society. It allows that culture or society to pass on the various things that it holds as truth and as what's important to the next generation. Mm-hmm. Right?
One of the biggest money collectors during World War II was after the Battle of Iwo Jima. They got the flag raisers that were still alive for that famous flag raising of Iwo Jima, and they had them go on a press junket tour to talk about here's you know the island hopping we did. Here's the great battles that we fought, and here Iwo Jima had the highest number of Medal of Honor winners in a single battle. And they used that story, that picture, to then you know, raise money in that way. That was actually the second flag raising. That was done at the spur of a moment. The photographer was barely had the camera up to it. It was just a great shot that was immortalized, and they took that story and utilized it to talk about, you know, battle and humanized the war that was over there that people were experiencing kind of for the first time within the movies and stuff like that. So storytelling, even in war, is this thing that can be utilized within what we're talking about here.
Yeah. And so he narrows in here in this issue of myth and myth making, and he says the sort of myth that Godwa, which is this guy that he's quoting mm-hmm. here and helping us to understand, is talking about is not the popular perception whereby people maintain, you know, confident and persistent beliefs in a distorted reality. That's what we usually think of when we think of myth, right? Yeah. An outright fabrication, a pernicious falsehood, he tells us, right?
Perseus cuts down Medusa's head after reflecting her vision in the shield.
Right. Yeah. So he says, no, a myth here is a storytelling impulse that we lean on to frame the identity of the community of the people that we belong to. Myths, he says, are worldviews constructed through stories, completed with rituals and corporate identity markers, values, and ethics, as well as familiar heroes and the villains that the heroes have conquered to achieve the goals necessary to forge human meaning and purpose. Mm-hmm. So that's what he's talking about by myth here, right? Not a tall tale kind of myth, mm-hmm. but the kind of worldview constructed stories that are, that can be true.
Right. Myth tells us a society what is important. Mm. They provide explanations for the origins and destiny of a people and the world they dwell in as they perceive it. You know, go back to history. Why was sometimes history class so boring? Well, because you have to memorize the dates and stuff like that. But then you get to the Battle of Gettysburg and you talk about, the Sherman's charge and how spectacular that was. Now let's go back to the number of dead and what happened, and then let's go to the gal that's overlooking the battlefield and just the slaughter happening, And then let's go back and talk about where the troops split up from there and how it rerouted Lee's army. But you kind of remember those things, and you create movies based on the Gettysburg, not for the date. I mean, you do have those things. Ken Burns' documentary is super important within the confines of documentary. But that's kind of the exception that proves the rule here. But, if you watch the movie Gettysburg, that's a great movie. That's a great myth. The myths that people construct them, tell them who they are, where they came from, where they're going, and why they exist. The Star-Spangled Banner. It was a battle. Why is that part of our thing that we say at every hockey game, at every football game? Why is that, the thing that inspires people to stand up and put their hand over their heart? This is one of those myths that within the confines of what we're talking about here is something that is building up the nation. That's one of the reasons it was brought out. Mm-hmm. History tells us that all humans are myth makers. No society has survived long without the creation of myths. We are meaning seekers. We're seeking meaning through stories, historical narratives, legends, and grand epics.
Good. And so he says, not every myth that people devise obviously is true. Right? The story myths that we construct are often full of myths of the other type, right? Untruths, fictitious kinds of narratives and that sort of thing. Nonetheless, everyone situates his or her life within some kind of myth, he tells us, whether true or false, historical or fictitious, and sometimes a stew of both true and false types of claims, right? But he quotes C.S. Lewis here, says that there's really only one true myth, right? And that, of course, is the vertile story given to us by the triune God of Scripture. Right. That's the only true myth. So every other story, to a certain extent, has some, is off the rails slightly, in terms of truth, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're talking about this within the confines of a worldview, right? We're saying what worldview accounts for this universal human condition to tell stories? The Christian worldview obviously is going to draw from Christianity and say the redemptive history of Christianity is the foil in which all other aspects of storytelling are derived from. So this three-part action with the man against man against nature, man against himself, the protagonist, antagonist, the rising action, all these things, they find themselves in the image of the Christian worldview here.
Right.